Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, how do you feel about your Bruins?
Overall, good. You mean specifically last night or overall?
Why would you answer a question with a question?
Playing the role of Joe Murray today. Jeopardy Joe Murray.
How do you feel about your hockey team? Maz, you can answer it any way you want.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. Overall, because again, they lost the game last night. I'm not happy about them blowing a 3-1 lead. However, the Donato story, man, if you didn't get goosebumps when he scored that goal last night, you're not human. Is there a more Boston story than that? Let me just get this off my chest first, right? West Roxbury kid, I think that's where he grew up anyway, in the city.
It's Hyde Park.
Hyde Park, West Roxbury. What's the difference? Same thing. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's a local kid, went to Harvard, old man played for the Bruins, came off the...
No, I'm going to say Ted was from Hyde Park. The kids grew up in the lap of luxury. They grew up somewhere nice.
Okay.
And not diminish Hyde Park. You know what I mean?
So I'm drawing the roots back all the way to the mother tree. Okay? That's the way I'm going.
The family's from Hyde Park.
But that goal, that play, all of it... Oh, man, that was a great moment. It really was. It's just a cool moment. That's all. I'll leave it at that. Beyond that, with regard to the Bruins in general, and Ben, thank you for indulging me on that particular sidecar. The Bruins in general, there are times I have watched them play this year, and I said this to you in the email exchange, and it happened again last night, where I don't recognize them, and I mean that as a compliment. For years, like most people who grew up here, you know what I've watched the Bruins do? Dump and chase, forecheck, hit the crap out of them, start a fight, try to win the game 4-3. Yeah, just grind, 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 grind. The ultimate blue-collar team that couldn't shoot, couldn't pass, but would try to outwork you and bring its lunch pail every single night, and that's how they would win. And they won a ton of games doing it, but they didn't win any championships. Not really. Now, they're fast. They're skilled. There was one sequence last night, and I wish I could remember it. They were going right to left. So I remember it was the first period of the third, but I think it was late in the game. And they didn't score on it. Where they took possession of the puck in their own zone, and it was D to wing to center, back to wing, drop it to the D, across the ice to the other D. It was a freaking thing of beauty, man, the way that puck moved.
Their passing was great last night.
It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. And I find this team wildly entertaining. Wildly entertaining. And again, the comebacks, the style of play, the speed, the youth, all of it. I don't know that I have ever been more intrigued by the Bruins going forward now for a long period of time. You know what I mean? Looking at the future. I don't know that I ever have been more intrigued than I am right now.
So on the Donato thing, aside from the local angle and all of that and how that makes you feel as a Bostonian, from a practical team assessment standpoint, do you think he's a factor?
Yes.
Don't you think he could be a factor?
Yes, yes. And I had my doubts going into last night, but after watching it, he's fast. And I'm not even talking about the play he scored the goal on. There was another one where he was starting basically at his own blue line, just into the neutral zone.
Maz, he should have had a hat trick.
He took a couple of strides and was like 10 feet ahead of everybody.
He should have had 5 points. The first opportunity he has, he's right on top of the goal and he can't lift it. I mean, he's right on the goal line. And then he had the breakaway in the second period as well that he sort of whiffed on. I mean, he easily could have had 5 points last
time. Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that for a guy his size... He's not afraid of getting in front of the net. I know Cassidy talked about it. He was out in front of there a lot, battling for pucks. You know, now he's going to get pushed around a little bit, probably more in the playoffs, so he's going to have to bulk up a little. Because I don't care how tough you are, if you're not big or strong.
But I think you make a good point, though.
But he goes in there.
He's in there.
He's not afraid to go in there. He's not like Spooner.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. He went to the goal mouth more in one night than I saw Ryan Spooner do in 3+ years here.
I mean, maybe even a guy like Sagan. Sagan didn't go in there often.
A lot of guys.
This kid goes in there.
And, you know, they got a couple now. A little Gianta there. You know, he's been doing it his whole career. Right? He gets it. You mentioned there the it's, you know, maybe 10 years ago, a guy that size couldn't go in there. But now you sort of can, I guess.
Well, the game's different. So I wonder, though, in the postseason, whether, I just think by definition, it's going to get more physical in there. And even if you don't get your head taken off, you're going to get pushed out of there. You're going to get pushed. So he's going to have to get stronger. I don't think there's any two ways about that. But he's fast. He's clearly skilled. And he feels border, you know, I say fearless. He's not afraid. I don't know if he's completely fearless, but
he plays down low. He plays down low.
He goes. He went in there,
and that's no small feat. First little shift that you saw. It comes out of the corner. He tries a little cutesy sort of backhand play, but he was down low. He stayed down low. And the very first shift, it's like, okay, there he is, and like he was the most noticeable guy on the ice the entire night, and. So I'm not, you know, I don't want to pretend like the kid's Guy LaFleur, but if you got another guy who can play, another 21, 22-year-old kid who drops into your lap who can play, you know who, if I'm this person, I've paid particular attention to last night.
Sweeney?
Jake DeBrusque.
Oh, good one.
When you come back, Jake, you better be on your horse. You better be ready to go, because I'll ask you right out of the chute. Who's a better fit next to Krejci and Nash? Jake DeBrusque or that Donato kid?
Donato.
I mean, Donato's got a better shot. He's more of a pure offensive player. He's more of a pure sniper. He's someone that he'll camp out in the right. It looks like it was one night. I'm just so look. I'm basing this on one night, so this is kind of silly. But ideally, he's a guy that does camp out in the circle. He will. He's got a gun, and he'll go there. And so you tell me what line combination has more upside? Krejci DeBrusque or Krejci Donato?
Krejci Donato. I mean, he's got the skill to play with him. Again, you know, look at the play they scored
on. And I'll just say real quick, good for the Bruins. They put him right with Krejci. Right, you know, when
it wasn't the original plan.
No, when Murray read the line rushes in the morning, he was with, I think, Achari and Wingles or something like
that. Yeah,
this.
That's right.
I'm like, okay, so they're going to ease the kid in on the third line, fine. And at some point between the morning and game time, they said, screw that, give it to Krejci.
Well, I can think because Rick Nash got bumped.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, Nash got bumped. Nash didn't play, and he didn't go, and all of a sudden Donato ended up on that line.
So that is, but they play on other sides.
Right.
Nash been playing the right, and Donato's the left. So I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of the both. Either way, they still could have easily stuck him with Wingles.
Absolutely.
They could have easily stuck him with Achari and, you know, given him that sort of entree into the league. Instead, nope, here's Krejci's second line. He's out there the first minute of the game and played a crap ton and stayed on that line the entire game. And it's just that approach. And I don't know, maybe they just saw it. Maybe they just saw it at some point in the day that the kid's ready, here we go.
Oh, so that, the goal was like, you know, rush up the ice, drop it back to Heinen, get ready to shoot, here it comes, bang. Like, that was the kind of goal Marchand scores, for crying out loud, the way he shot it and the angle he shot it from. I just, and again, I said Sweeney a second ago, that 2014 draft, how's that one looking right now? Have you taken a look at that draft?
So we'll get to all this. I mean, that's Pasternak, that's Bjork, that's Donato, that's
Heinen. First four picks, Pasternak, Donato, Heinen, Bjork.
Okay, so that was technically Shirelli, except they did change your scouting directors that year. That was someone who I like to call the average one. Keith Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky's brother, the average one, took over the amateur scouting department that year and hit what looks like a grand slam home run. But here we go. Here's just another kid who drops out of the sky and can play. Now, see, this one, though, if you want to play the credit game, I really can't give Sweeney, Cassidy, Neely, I can't give anyone currently credit for this guy because it's not like they even developed him. You know, Harvard developed him. Ted developed him. Those other kids, Heinen, right, Pasternak, they were drafted by Shirelli, but they were immediately handed to Sweeney and Cassidy, who were down in Providence, and that's what those guys were in charge of. So it's really been the development program of Cassidy and Sweeney who've been, you know, that layer there for the last 3-4 years. So even if you're drafted by Shirelli, I can sort of give Sweeney credit for developing you. Not Donato.
No, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. And I don't know, maybe there's something to be, you know, maybe there's something to be said for the way the Bruins play now is more of a college game than it used to be. It's faster, wide open.
But just a list of young guys, forwards anyway.
It's insane.
I don't know what they have on D yet, you know, in the system. But you just, you know, you came out of camp and I thought the Bjork kid was going to be the guy. Like, I think, like, this guy could play overnight. And then he sort of got hurt or fell off and, okay, so they glorified redshirt year. Here comes DeBrusque. Now, DeBrusque gets hurt. They drop in Donato out of nowhere. Do you know Donato still lives at the dorms at Harvard?
I saw that.
Is that not the greatest thing ever?
It's hysterical.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll see you at the Tasty.
He still lives at the Elliott House or whatever. He still lives at Harvard. And he comes out, and now it's like, Donato, Bjork, DeBrusque, like who I all think can play. And so you just got this. It's like an embarrassment of riches. It can't be that good. It's just this run that they're on. There's just where everything that falls out of the sky is coming up for
them.
Well,
so this gets back to that whole thing, too, between Sweeney and Cassidy. Like, no matter what they do, they just land in a pile of manure, the two of them. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so if Donato is this, if Donato is 80% of what he was last night, okay, because he's not going to be, what, he had 5 shots, 3 points, and he's just everywhere, okay? So let's just say he's 80% of that. You want him next to Krejci with Nash, fresh out of the Olympics and still living at the Elliott House at Harvard, or what? Or do you want DeBrusque back there? Like, okay, so there's one. How'd you feel about the non-call in overtime on Brad Marchand?
Didn't bother me. I mean, it was a penalty. No, listen, when I say it didn't bother me, it was a penalty. No two ways about it. It was absolutely 100% a penalty. But you know what? 3-on-3 overtime, I don't want them making that call.
When it's that egregious,
I don't.
We're not talking about a ticky-tack call, Maz.
I know.
It's brutal.
I don't care. You were up 3-1 in that game, and then after that, it felt like Columbus had the puck and the Bruins couldn't get it away from them. I mean, for the final couple of minutes of the game, how long did the Bruins possess the puck? They couldn't get it. So listen, horrible call. I'm glad they didn't call it. I am. I'm glad they didn't call it. I don't want that call in overtime, 3-on-3 overtime. I don't want it.
So Murray, that feels illogical to you, correct?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know how you can make that statement when
horrible
the call.
Horrible call,
is
but I'm happy you didn't make it.
Yeah, the call is. I mean, the non-call is so egregious. It's so blatant. Blow the effing whistle.
I know, but 90% of what I say is illogical, Murray. So get used to it.
By you saying that, though, you're saying they didn't deserve to win. That you didn't want them to win. I don't understand the logic behind that.
How did they want them to blow it?
Because I in 3-on-3 overtime, I want to see someone score a legit 3-on-3 goal to win the game. That's why. I know it sounds stupid, right? Sounds stupid. It was a penalty.
Oh, so to me, the only reason, that's not the reason not to blow the whistle. The reason to not blow the whistle is that the guy who has the puck is a punk. Freudian slip. The reason to not blow the whistle is because the guy who has the puck is a flopping, cheating, dirty rat.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant.
And I say with all the love and respect in my heart. But I'm just telling, I'm sort of exaggerating to prove the point that
his track record shouldn't matter. That call,
yeah,
like,
it does.
Oh, come on.
It does.
See, I don't want it called on anybody. At least I'm consistent.
Well, here's the thing. Those kind of players don't and probably should not get the benefit of the doubt. The floppers, I'm talking about the flopping stuff more than anything. So just keep with the embellishers. The guys who embellish, and he's already been fined for this, which means he's already been warned. So he's got 2 or 3 strikes on him already this year. He's an embellisher. He's a flopper. A flopper does not get the benefit of the doubt. It's got to be clear in that situation. So for me, that's what I like. What goes around comes around.
If it's ticky-tack, I'm with you. But that call, from every angle, should have been blown.
Absolutely.
It was a complete reach around.
Should have been a penalty, and I'm glad they didn't call it.
Oh, right, God. So, you
right,
guys.
Hold on. We're late again. Let's just hold that. Hold that frustration, Murray. We'll get to you and the people right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Bruins banking ahead. Onside is Marchand to the left circle. Cuts out in front. Backhand. Grabbed by Dubois. Corpusalo made the save. The Bruins bench is up in arms.
I mean, Marchand does everything. He protects the puck coming to the net. Dubois reaches around him with his free hand. Stick hand and free hand, and he grabs him. That should be a penalty shot.
Wow.
Oh, he got away with one there. I mean, that's a penalty just about every time. He's got the stick in one hand. He reaches around Marchand with the stick in his hand. One hand on it.
That's obstruction.
The way it's called in that league is that is almost always a penalty. The 3-on-3, I feel like they're touchy with penalties, which I don't like, because then it turns into a 4-on-3 and I lose the 3-on-3 up and down thing. So I hate the fact that they call so many penalties in overtime, but they do. So that was an egregious missed call. There's only two things. One, I don't really care, because I don't really care about the point. Like, it's really not, unless you bet it, you know, I don't know why you'd really care. What's the diff? And two, I am sort of a fan of what goes around comes around. And if you're going to fake, and you're going to flop, and you're going to dive, and you're going to do what Marchand does, then I don't want you getting the benefit of the doubt. And no, so that's that.
Then he should get screwed on a ticky-tack call. He shouldn't get screwed on an egregious non-call. Because the way you guys are talking about it, let's just not have officials then. Let's not even have a score. Let's not tally a score at the end of the game, because ultimately it doesn't matter.
Murray, in the 3-on-3, I just assume they call offside and icing, and that's it.
Oh, my God. So in overtime in the NFL, say Brady gets hit high by Terrell Suggs.
In the three-on-three, I said.
And there's no flag. You're good with it because, let him play.
No, different. Different. The NHL three-on-three to me is like the greatest thing they've done in that league, and I can't tell you how long. I think it's awesome. I love it. The up-and-down nature of it. All it is. The guys can't stay out there that long because they get so tired. It's awesome.
But the rules of the game should still apply, even though it's still 3-on-3. Okay. By what you're saying, the ref should just sit up on the boards and cross their arms and decide to just call icing. That's about it.
See, I think in the 3-on-3, the rules are different because there's so much space. I do. I just think they're different. You get hauled down, too bad. Tough. Figure it out. I love it. I absolutely love the 3-on-3. I don't want them calling it for the same reason you just said. The 4-on-3 thing, that sucks. I hate that. Play 3-on-3. Don't blow the whistle. Keep going.
Okay. Your thoughts, Bruins fans, on all of it. Jack in Nashville, lead us off today.
Hi, guys. I just had something on Donato and Marchand. I see Donato being better than Heinen, DeBrusque, and who's the other guy that looked good at the beginning of the
Bjork.
Year? Bjork, right? I see him better than those guys. I see almost as a forward version of McAvoy with that kind of excitement when he came up. But it's not such a bad thing. They have such depth now that it's not a bad thing to be on the third line for the Bruins.
It's not, but I want, you know, to me, I think it's sort of an important thing who plays with Krejci. Because it's, you know, you're really going to be in a different spot there if you're playing with Krejci and Riley Nash, and Rick Nash. If you're playing with Krejci and Rick Nash, that is... That's an offensive, put the puck in the net, big minute. That's a big role. If you're down on the third or fourth line with Riley Nash or Achari or whatever those permutations are, that's a whole different role. That's a whole different thing. So I think that's an important lineup spot. Is that DeBrusque or is that all of a sudden you say Ryan Donato is the guy you want there over Jake DeBrusque, who's been good there all year long, been good.
And I would say of late, too, he's gotten better. He's played better in the last, 10 games, somewhere in there. It feels to me like DeBrusque has improved. He's getting more confident. You see him turning over pucks in the offensive zone, all of it. Like, I just think it's almost a no-lose because you could put DeBrusque with Riley Nash and Backes and have a pretty good group there, too.
It's just, again, the forward group, organizationally, it looks really tasty. I mean, it does. It does. Just on the left side, Pastrnak is 25. Donato's 21 or 22. He still lives at Harvard. Bjork just came out of college. I thought he was going to be the guy. Okay, again, sort of a redshirt year for him. You still have the kid Trent Frederick coming out of Wisconsin.
He's just signed also.
Okay. Apparently, their number one guy in the system is someone I still don't know much about, but his name's Jack Stanika. He's like got a gazillion points for Oshawa, and he's still in the junior, so he's got a ways to go. But apparently, when you know, I just know this because you went to the deadline and you talked about what it would take to get a Ryan McDonough or something like that. The packages started with Stanika because he's supposed to be your top young prospect. We haven't seen the kid yet. He's still playing with, you know, juniors. So it's like, that looks really nice. Not to mention Heinen, not to mention the scrappers that I like. You've got to like Corrali. You've got to like Achari. You've got to like those guys down there. They've done a good job down there all year long.
I mean, last night when I saw Donato flying around, Donato to Heinen back to Donato for that goal, I wanted to watch the rest of the game naked. I wanted to take my clothes off and rub myself in butter and watch the rest of the Bruins game.
Michael and Methuen, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to touch base on... You know, I'm a Bruins fan. I have been one for over 40 years. And one thing I will say is that it seems to me like lately they've been giving up more goals than they were, say, earlier in the year. And I know that Tuukka gets a lot of blame for it. And he hasn't played particularly well and deserves a little bit of the criticism. But at the same time, we know that he's a system goalie.
Well, let me stop you. Giving up too many goals. Two things. One is they're coming off a shutout at the team that scores the most goals in the NHL. So if they hadn't posted that bagel in Tampa, I'd feel a little differently. So something tells me that when they can, when they need to, they can. Secondly, I would say Columbus is playing really well. I think they've won 8 straight. You're without Chara, McAvoy, and Bergeron, your 3 best defensive players, regardless of position. So I'm going to cut them some slack. So those are your 2 qualifiers. They're coming off a shutout in Tampa, and they're without 3 of their best defensive players and their top 2 D-men. All right? Hard to be great defensively in those circumstances. However, who was the better goalie last night? It wasn't even close. It was the. It was. How come I'm blanking on his name?
Korpisalo.
Korpisalo.
He was nasty. Who was a better goalie last night?
See, I didn't think. Well, he was. I didn't think Rask was that bad in that game.
I didn't say that. I said who was a better
Korpisalo
goalie?
Korpisalo
was their guy.
Okay, that's all. And I agree. I think
there's three bad deflections really against Rask.
What is Rask going to do on that Vanek goal? Did you see that Vanek tip?
That was ridiculous. That goal was some of the goals in that game last night were off the charts.
There was another slap pass in the crease that he can't do anything with, and I think the first goal was off the guy's shin pad. Okay, so three of the five hard to really accept,
and the one off the faceoff.
Except right. Well, yeah. What are you going to do there? Right. Exactly.
And that thing was a laser.
It's still five goals again, so the caller has a point.
Yes, and look, I think the overtime goal, you know, I mean, the guy picked a corner, it's 3-on-3, but I'd rather not see Rask give that one up, okay? So you can get on him a little bit for that one if you want. The one earlier in the game, Carlo turned the puck over. I got a bigger issue with Carlo there than I do with Rask.
What a bad play by him. Matt and Stoughton, do you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, all this positivity, you know, I need to bring...
But I think it was starting with Carlo. It started with the Carlo play.
Oh, God, that was a horrible play. Horrible play. You know, he goes back to retrieve the puck, tries to backhand it, misfires, basically turns it over, they score. And, like, you know, so if you want to start getting concerned about some stuff going into the postseason and everything else, Carlo's play's on the list. I mean, it might be number one on the list. You get some stability in the defensive zone. And, look, the game against Tampa was, because I generally feel like you do, that when Cassidy gets on him and says to them, we're going to make this a priority tonight. They buckle down and they shut the other team down. They've done it more than once this year where that has happened. So they do, but I think that you get into the postseason, there's some inexperience there. The pace, the physicality, it all gets ramped up. I could see Carlo cracking in the postseason.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. So the Bruins have to go back to work, trailing by a goal. Right of the net now, Ryan Donato. Centered, fired, they score! How's that for a response? Donato powered his way through a check. Von Krejci out in front, and he hammered it home. The Boston Bruins have tied the game at 4.
Frank the Tank, how do you feel about your Bruins?
Feeling pretty good, but before I get to that, and Maz, before I tear you a new one, I hope your dad's doing all right. I hope he liked the gift a couple months ago and didn't hear from you about that.
Appreciate that, Frank. Thank you. He did.
Good. Maz, I don't care if it's – I don't care who it is in overtime. Sidney Crosby is just as dirty as Marchand, and he would get that call. I understand what Mike's saying. It can be a reputation call. I get it. I understand the
what
goes around comes around.
Is Crosby a flopper? Is Crosby a flopper? Is Crosby?
Of course he is.
Is he like Marchand?
Mike, come on.
Marchand's pretty bad. Frank, in terms of embellishment, I'm not talking about being dirty. I'm talking about embellishing.
Yes, he is, Mike. He is definitely is. And believe me, I am a huge Bruins fan. You know that. I hate Marchand. I hate the way he plays sometimes. But you got to call a square a square. That is a penalty shot. Now, in terms of the team, Mike, these guys just don't quit, and that's what you got to like about them. I don't think this is going to be the year. I know everybody's hot and horny about it, and everybody needs to keep it in their pants when it comes to Donato. It's one game, people. It's one game.
Frank, you okay
Let's
that they
see what happens?
Frank, you okay that they don't fight? You okay that they're not the big bad Bruins? Because they're not. They're a different team.
No, they listen. They're not the big bad Bruins, but this is what I wanted them to be last year when the NHL wanted to change. They're medium and mean. I like that. They do play together. When it's time to drop the gloves, they drop the gloves.
It's true. It's usually defensemen, you know, but still, or Backus. So they still got a guy or two. It's just, these aren't your father's Bruins.
Oh, they're not even close, please.
How entertaining was last night's game?
Great. It's a great product. They are great to watch.
But it's not. They're not going to beat you up.
No, but you know what? I don't care. If they play like this, I can live without the fighting if they play like this because they're not soft. Like, being soft bugs me. Okay, but take the fighting out. They're tough.
No, they're. I would agree with that. I think they stand up for themselves when the time comes. We've seen it in several occasions so far.
They are relentless. They play fast. They're skilled. Like, again, watching them last night, there was one sequence, and I wish I could remember who the players were. They were going right to left. I want to say early third period, and there was this tic-tac-toe passing, dropping the puck to the guy across the ice to the other defense. It was like, whoa! I watched it and said, I don't know who they are anymore. And I loved every second of it. For years, I got on them for so many years for, you know, just get rid of the skilled guy because he's not tough enough. And you're dumping Chase and blah, blah. And it never got them anything. This is real hockey.
Tim in Nashville. Go ahead, Tim.
Mike, I've never uttered these words. It's a great problem to have for the Bruins lineup offensively. Cassidy can do whatever he wants with these three lines. He can make an offensive power. I noticed also in the league, the youth movement the other night when they played Philly. I love their young talent also. But Michael, the other element they have is that Achari line and the way that they took Stamkos out of the game the other night. I know you didn't see the Tampa game, but it was awesome.
Yeah, so those third and fourth lines carried the team for a large portion of the season. They've been tremendous. I think what sets them apart is that you have all that youth and all this injection and then all these kids, but you're really still led by Bergeron, Chara, Rask, Marchand. You know, it's still, your veterans have played great, and they're still, you know, if you go deep, you got to think that that's going to be the reason. That those, you know, that's what makes you dangerous, that those guys have been through so many of those. That they're going to be ready for it, you know it.
It's Sweeney nailed the mix. He did. Now, again, I don't know where they're going, but the old and new, you know, young and old thing, he got that down. The mix is good.
You mentioned, Sweeney, and you talk about what kind of year this is, and I think how huge it is for the Bruins organizationally, no matter what they do, really. I mean, if they go one and done, that's going to be really frustrating, no question about it. But they sort of got everybody back on the bandwagon, didn't they?
Yes.
I mean, don't you sense it? You can really tell at the building, I think. The building is loud and engaged and there. And that's not always a great home crowd. Even on good nights, they're not great. But it feels like recently, can't you feel it, Murray?
Oh, it's night and day compared to what it was last year. I mean, you got to this time last year, and okay, they were sniffing around the playoffs. But again, those typical Thursday night duds under Claude.
The wet fart game.
Yeah. There was just no buzz in the building. It's ridiculous now. It feels like the games feel like playoff games.
And then I think the fans are back on board, and I think that's huge for the Bruins because I was looking at this as a lost half decade that the Celtics were just going to absolutely take over and dominate. That it was going to be, you know, no competition. Where it's just the Celtics are in the conference finals or finals every year, and I still think they're going to be. And the Bruins are going to be on this sort of slow, steady thing where at best they're getting a little better every year, but really aren't contending for a while, and the Bruins were just going to get buried. And I feel like in the last month or two, the Bruins have caught right back up. And it's sort of like a thing where it's neck and neck. It depends what night it is and what kind of crowd you're with. And it could be Bruins or Celtics. And I was not expecting that. And that's kind of huge. That's kind of huge for Neely and Sweeney. Like, even if they're one and done, which, again, we'll kill them for. And they should get killed. In terms of their job security and ownership, don't you think they bought themselves another couple of years?
Oh, they built something here. There's a foundation now. There's beyond a foundation. I mean, there was something real to grab onto here. Again, it's just hard not to be caught up in it, because this started with that long winning streak after they sat Rask and put Hudobin in there. But the later they get in the year and the more you watch them, they play, again, they're relentless, they play hard, it's a good product, they win, and they're young on top of it all.
And I just think, again, in terms of market share, which is what I'm talking about here, I think they're right back on the map. And I was not expecting them on the map. I was not expecting them on the map for a while. And as a hockey guy, you know, the sport's important to me, and I want to be able to talk about it and do it on the show and all of it. That is, what a gift. What a gift. I did not think we would be here. The Bruins had their highest-rated game of the year last night. Highest-rated game of the year. It did a 4-6, which the previous high was a 4-3 against Montreal. And, you know, if you're beating a Montreal game on a Monday night against Columbus, you're onto something. Because the Montreal games are always the highest-rated games of the year. Last one was the highest-rated night of the year. Do you know in the last 10 games, The Bruins are back to outrating the Celtics pretty substantially. The Bruins in their last 10 games are averaging a 3.36. The Celtics are averaging a 2.74. So I feel like that's evened up. Now, all year, the Celtics are ahead, and they should be ahead. The Celtics are averaging a 3.5 on the season. The Bruins are averaging a 2.7. The Celtics are plus 28% on the year, up on the Bruins. But I'll say here, it's only 28%. I thought the Celtics were going to be doubling up the Bruins, and this was the way that this was the era we were sort of entering, and the Bruins were going to be a real afterthought. Oh, I was really scared to begin the year. You know, there's just going to be we're not going to have a hockey season, and not only are we not going to have a hockey season, the team's going to kind of get buried here for the next couple of years. That's what I thought we were looking at, and I think, you know, it didn't take long for the Bruins fans to come back, and now it feels like they're back, and we got a hockey team and a hockey season, and we're back to square. And sometimes it's a Celtics night, sometimes it's a Bruins night, and depends what crowd you're with and what game you're talking about, and here we go. And that's what a gift for the hockey people, I think. I was not expecting that.
Oh, my gosh. Look, you know, my father's not much of a hockey fan. I'm using him as a barometer. He doesn't know the difference between a hockey puck and a hamburger, for crying out loud. And he says to me, boy, the Bruins are fun to watch. They're pretty good. And so I got sucked in a while ago because I like the building thing. I like that. You put in young guys, let's see what you got. You're building something here. And this is something you can grab onto and hold onto in theory for a number of years. And you talk about the fans buying in. You could feel it through the TV last night when Donato scored. Tell me that wasn't awesome.
Right, so I was not expecting that this year. So thank goodness.
And right now, too, if you look at this 10-game sample size between both teams, it makes all the sense in the world with Kyrie's injury. The Celtics have been playing bum teams that are almost unwatchable even in wins.
So I was just about to say, it's a little unfair to say that about the Celtics, and I'm not saying anything about the Celtics. I'm just telling you the Bruins have caught up, and that's good. I don't think the Celtics have dropped off. I think it's
the Grizzlies, the Bulls, like these crap teams.
And it's not just that. There's a sort of a purgatory state here. Like, I think the Celtics have established who they are. They're right there, and now you're just waiting for the middle of April for the playoffs.
Waiting for the playoffs. To me, that's what it's all about with the Celtics now.
And so I think, and now you're having injuries every other night where their star players aren't in the game. So I don't think it's a apples to apples thing. I still think it's the Celtics time. And their numbers all year have been terrific, and they're still outrating the Bruins by a good, you know, margin start to finish. I think that when the Celtics get into the playoffs, you'll see that thing come right back for the Celtics, as it should. I'm just telling you, from a Bruins perspective, I was not expecting this, and I don't think any of us were. And so here we are. We got it. We should have a good spring. Unless they go one and done, which is still on the table.
Oh,
Miss.
God, please. They could totally lose. It would piss me off to no end.
Thank you.
But at the moment, they are captivating.
Well, let's stick to that first thing. It's more entertaining.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins with the puck might have a 2-on-1. Donato over the line, right side into the right circle. Drops for Krug. Donato shoots. He scores! Listen to the Boston Bruins fans erupt as Ryan Donato sizzles in a one-timer in the far circle, and he ties the game at 1 for the Bruins. His first National Hockey League tally in his first National Hockey League game, and it comes in his hometown. The Bruins and Jackets are tied at 1. I cannot imagine the electricity that is moving through that body right now.
Chris in Malden. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. First off, I just wanted to say I love this team. You know, whether you think they're really tough or not, I mean, 7-game series, I think we're a team to beat, you know, especially when we're healthy. Anyway, the Marchand hit, I mean, I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I think it might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard that we shouldn't call a penalty on that. What, because you think they deserve to lose and you like to watch 3-on-3 hockey, you know? I mean, I've seen better calls in my men's league.
Chris, I said nothing about deserving to lose. That's not what I said. I just said that in 3-on-3 in the NHL, in the regular season, I don't want any penalties. I don't. That's just me. And again, you can tell me it's illogical. You can tell me it's inconsistent. You can tell me, like you just said, it's the stupidest thing you've ever heard. You might be right. I'm telling you, I like the 3-on-3. I don't want it disrupted by penalties.
All right. Well, I just think, really, that's a game-deciding call there, whether his reputation is tough or what, you know? Like, I just think that's horrible. And
so, look, I think they should have called it. But I'm telling you, what goes around comes around. And I just like it when the floppers and the fakers don't get the benefit of the doubt. I like it anytime a Montreal Canadien, the ref doesn't take the cheese. I like it anytime that a Montreal Canadien gets dragged down and the ref doesn't give him the call because the ref is saying, you know what? You got me the last time because you faked. So I'm not going to take the... No, I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Even if the banana is really in the tailpipe, I'm not giving it to you because you hosed me so many times previously. That's what I'd like about it.
Then why even have officials? Like, I get where you're coming from, but that if it's a ticky-tack call, Mike, I'm with you. You know, those guys are going to make those calls based on, hey, screw this guy and their reputation. But when it's that egregious, like it was last night against Marchand, you have to blow your whistle. I get it. He's a little dink. He goes over the line. He probably didn't deserve it. But again, when it's that blatant, I'm holding you. I'm holding you, preventing you from scoring. Blow the whistle.
Not only was it a penalty, it should have been two. he hooked him and he held him. Seriously.
Oh, no, it was blatant.
He did both.
Took his hand off his stick.
It should have been 4 minutes.
I mean, usually that's an automatic. When the defender takes his hand off his stick, it's like an automatic. And he totally did. Yes, I mean, it should have been called. Mike and Dedham. Or Mark and Dedham. Hi, Mark.
Yeah?
Mark!
The goaltender.
Mark! Okay, babe, I'm in a good mood. I will put you on hold instead of hanging up. Anthony in Framingham. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Mike. Love the show. Okay. Are you still of the mind that Brendan Carlo is going to, like, for the next 10 years, he's going to, like, be some defenseman cog like Chara has been?
Well, whoever said he's like Chara?
Well, no. I mean, you said you didn't want to trade him at the trade deadline because, you know, he's a defensive defenseman. He can be. Mike, he can't play the game. He's your worst defenseman that you had. Did you see that play last night?
Awful.
He
brutal.
Can't play.
Brutal play.
He can't play. He needs to be put up on the ninth floor, sit next to Cam. Every night, Mike, you watch just as many Bruins games as I do. Every night, I stand up and I go, what's Carlo doing there? What's he doing? He's the only one who I do it with.
He's had a rough year, Anthony. I still like his potential. Let me ask you, what are your deep pairs for the playoffs? Give them to me right now.
I mean, McAvoy, Chara. You got to go Heinen, Krug, maybe?
I'm sorry, who, Krug?
Heinen?
Heinen?
Heinen's a forward.
Okay, so you've just disqualified yourself to comment on Brendan Carlo. You go Heinen, Krug?
It's Krug, Carlo, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what it has been.
Yeah, and then Nick Hurts from Holden.
Has the Holden kid shown you enough to get more minutes?
Yes, I'd say yes. I'd put Holden out there.
So, I mean, so the question is, if you don't like Carlo, that's fine. Then you do have Kevin Miller, who, you know, or McQuaid, who's hurt again. But one of those two guys, you know you're not going to get, you know the ceiling on those players, but you also know there's a certain steadiness there that you're not getting with Carlo. So you want to move Miller or Kevin Miller or McQuaid up and take Carlo's minutes? Fine. I think Carlo is a third pairing D. I think it's his second year. He's a sophomore slump, et cetera, et cetera. He had a really good year last year. I still like him as a long-term, young, hopefully affordable, solid piece. He's a veteran. I mean, sorry, he's a system defenseman. And I don't know how many of those you're going to produce. We're talking about all your good young forwards. I don't know how many good young defensemen you have.
Well, and he's still a kid, right? What's he, 21?
Second year.
I mean, like, you know, he really is. He's really young on top of it for that position. Like, you know, confidence is shot. You can see it.
My question is Holden or Greslick. Like, you know, again, when you made that trade, Holden was, he was your seventh or eighth guy. Now is he in the lineup every night in the playoffs? I think so. And Carlo, you want to move him down and move up Kevin Miller and McQuaid? That's fine. I think you can do that. Mark and Dedham, are you there yet? Okay. Nope. He's just not ready to go. Charlie and Fall River. Go ahead, Charlie.
Mike, I take Greslick over Carlo any day. Carlo gets lost too often out there. He loses a lot of players in front of the net. But, you know, when I was halfway through that game last night, when Donato was playing out of his mind, and they put up a graphic of the starting five that were out with Bergeron, Nash, Backes, your two top D-men, I started thinking, who the hell is Cassidy going to sit in the playoffs? I don't want to touch the third line. They've been freaking awesome. I know you didn't watch the Tampa game, but there was a play where Schaller just wiped out Stamkos, and Stamkos went after him and got a penalty and scored on it.
Charlie, I mean, let's play the game. I just did it on D. Let's do it on offense. Okay, when Bergeron comes back, it's Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak. Obviously, book it. That's it. It's over. Your second line. You want Krejci and Nash with Donato, or you want DeBrusk up there?
Ask me in a week. If Donato's still playing the same way, Donato all day.
I think you got to go there. Okay, so now you said your third line has been amazing, one of the best lines all year. It has been. The real third line this year has been Backes, Nash, and Heinen. You want DeBrusk to slot in there, or you want to keep those guys together?
Yeah, but, okay, so DeBrusk and Heinen, but then you got Backes and you got Nash, right?
You're not answering my question.
I get rid of Heinen.
The third line there has been steady all year long. It's been amazing. Maz, it's been their second best line wire to wire.
Sure.
Nash, Backes, Heinen.
I would put
DeBrus there and get rid of Heinen?
Yeah. That's what I would do. Heinen would be my extra forward. He'd be the guy I scratch.
He'd be upstairs.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're keeping the fourth line together of Achari, Schaller, Corrali, who's also been terrific.
Well, look, the ultimate decision is going to come down to the three young left wings. It's going to come down to DeBrusque, and I say Donato's a left wing because that's where he played last night. It's going to come down to DeBrusque, Donato, and Heinen. One of those guys has got to sit. You're not sitting anybody else, right? You're not going to sit Krejci. You're not going to sit Rick Nash. You're not sitting Riley Nash or Backes.
You wouldn't sit Corrali or Schaller or one
of
those guys?
No, I'm not touching that line. I'm not. I think that those guys are too valuable. They play with unbelievable energy. Again, there's every night those guys bring it. Every single night.
I'm telling you.
And not only that, but Cassidy trusts him in matchups.
DeBrusque has been hurt. When he gets healthy, I'd be on your horse, Jake. I'd be on your horse ready to go.
One of those three is going to sit.
Because this kid's going to take his job. If Donato plays like he did last night, he's the guy that should play next
to
Krejci.
I wouldn't feel too comfortable if I were Heinen either. He sat a little while
that's
ago.
True.
You know, he's another, because DeBrusque was playing well. To me, the guy that's going to get bumped is Heinen. One of those guys is going to get bumped, of those three guys.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.